Kurt Lafey right now, ladies and gentlemen, on the 84 Lumber Project Professional Newsline. Kurt, Merry Christmas and welcome to KDK. Nice to have you back.
Oh, nice to be back, Rob. No doubt about it. Merry Christmas to you and everybody out there in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's really neat to have you here. And the thing that, you know, Keith James was the first to tell me about you that I really admired was your love and the significance of the history. And I think many people, especially with the 150th anniversary of Gettysburg coming up, they need to understand and plug into it even more and to realize that it really wasn't all that many years ago. But recently there was another significant anniversary. Tell me about that, will you?
Oh, you're talking about the Battle of Fredericksburg earlier this month. As a matter of fact, it was the 11th through the 15th is what they really consider the battle. It was Ambrose Burnside's first foray into being a general. And he had taken a job that was given to him, but he said, I can't do it. And guess what? He proved he was right about that one.
Well, let me tell you something. There were a lot of people, some of the greatest men ever. And, you know, I know he was a Confederate soldier, but I want to take 1 minute because we've never done this in all the years that I've talked about the Civil War. And I have done, long before you coming on this broadcast, focused on it and really broke it down. For some reason, we lose sight about the South, and we are one now, and really the situation and what it was and how hearts were torn and brother versus brother. It's Robert E. Lee. You know, even though there have been movies made about him and people obviously have read about him, nobody has ever really talked about him on the radio, especially on my program. So let's talk about Robert E. Lee. And in any other circumstance, he probably would go down in history, in my opinion, with the Ulysses S. Grants of the world, the Dwight Eisenhowers, the George Pattons, the Pershings. I mean, this guy was an amazing military man, wasn't he?
Absolutely, positively. He did things that would be considered bodacious by any military standards. As a matter of fact, his Chancellorsville battle, where he divided his army three times, as a matter of fact, in the face of superior numbers, is still talked about at West Point. It was just absolute genius. And as well, he got a little bit lucky at the Battle of Fredericksburg because Burnside actually stole a march on him. He got down into the Rappahannock River across the river from Fredericksburg, and he was all ready to go, except his pontoon bridges were still up in Washington. And that gave Lee time to concentrate his forces. And what he did is, he was a genius by virtue of the fact that he trusted his men below him. He gave the job, the grand overview, and it was a good plan, and then he let his subordinates carry it out. That was Longstreet and Jackson. And they laid down artillery barrages and infantry musketry fire on the battlefield at Fredericksburg that no Union soldier got within 40 yards of the line on Marye's Heights. Well, that's not true at the Slaughter Pen area. By the way, there was the 136th Pennsylvania Volunteer Infantry, which was an Allegheny unit that actually broke through in what they called a slaughter pen. They were a nine-month unit, and they were the Confederates counterattacked and drove them away. But when you go back to Lee, everything he ever did was absolute positive genius. And I'll tell you, he was a gutty, gutty guy.
Let me ask you, what happened to him after the Civil War?
Well, he retired down south. Of course, you know, I don't know how many people know this, but Arlington Cemetery was Lee's home.
And I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It was, as a matter of fact, his mansion, the Arlington House, is still there. And the Union soldiers, you know, opposite the river from Washington, they took over his property. And despite the Lees, they buried soldiers in Mrs. Lee's rose garden. And now it's turning, of course, to Arlington National Cemetery. After the war, he didn't really live that much longer. If I recall, he only lived to like 1868 or 69. He had a bad heart. As a matter of fact, at the Battle of Fredericksburg, he was out the day before looking at the Union forces across the river on Stafford Heights, and he became ill and fell down. And there's speculation that he may have had a minor heart attack or something way back then, as early as as early as 1862.
I got to get to a break, but please, sure. when you're in this area, hook up with Keith, hook up with me. I'd love to bring you in for a full hour, maybe as we push forward towards July and the Gettysburg anniversary, to really break this thing down and talk, because people need school, they need educated, and I really enjoy what you do and obviously your knowledge of it. But if you can, in closing, in the final few seconds, just the strength of these men and women and people of our society on both sides, that grit. I don't think we have ever seen it, or we may never see it again, despite the greatest generation of all time. God bless them all. But this period in our country's history, both North and South, I mean, it really was what grit was all about.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. If I can say it long enough, absolutely. These guys left their farms, they dropped their plows, and they went to war. And their overbearing thought process from the guys from the North was, we're going to save the Union, because that's what our fathers and grandfathers fought for in the American Revolution. And they went through so many privations, illness. Oh, my gosh. 600,000 soldiers, both North and South, perished in the war. Death and disease was more than half of them.
Kurt, I got to go to a break. Thank you so much. Please come back again, and next time, come in studio.
Will do. We'll plan on it.
All right. Thank you very much. Kurt Lafey, ladies and gentlemen, on the 84 Lumber Project Professional Newsline. Good stuff.
Everybody's out of work.
Sound familiar?
Or scared of losing their job?
The fiscal cliff approaches.
Nobody anywhere seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
It's what Larry and John, Marty and Mike,